Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Apremia Engineering Limited H2 and FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I, Akhilesh Gandhi, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, I welcome you all to Apremia Engineering's H2 and FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the second half and the full year ended on March 31, 2025. We are pleased to have with us the management team of Apremia Engineering with us today, Mr. Saurabh Bhat, he's the Chairman and the Joint Managing Director. With him, we also have Mr. Chetan Joshi, he's the Managing Director. Before we begin, I would like to mention that this call may contain forward-looking statements which are based on the company's current beliefs, opinions, and expectations. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and are subject to risk and uncertainties, and these are beyond the company's control. The company undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect events or developments that may occur after this call. The financial results and investor presentation have already been uploaded on the stock exchange and company's website for your reference. With that, I now invite Chetan to present his opening remarks on the company's performance for the second half and full year ended on March 31, 2025. Following that, we will open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Akhilesh Ji, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It gives me immense pleasure to welcome you to Apremia Engineering Limited's very first earnings conference call. We got listed on the NSE Emerge in August 2024, which was a significant milestone in our company's journey, and I sincerely thank each one of you, our investors, analysts, partners, for being part of it. Since this is our maiden call, some of you might be looking at the company for the first time. Let me now spend some time to walk you through our business and explain what makes Apremia unique. We founded in 2003 with a clear mission to strengthen India's healthcare infrastructure and make quality care more accessible. Over the past two decades, we have evolved from a medical equipment distributor to a comprehensive turnkey healthcare solution provider. Today, Apremia delivers end-to-end services for setting up critical care units, modular operation theaters, prefabricated healthcare structures across India. Our operations are structured across three integrated business segments, out of which first, healthcare infrastructure projects, also called as turnkey projects, and which is also called in some of the aspects EPC contracting. This is the largest and most critical part of our business, contributing nearly 90% of our revenue in FY25. Under this segment, we design, execute, and maintain critical care facilities such as ICUs, NICUs, PICUs, modular operation theaters, dialysis centers, and prefabricated hospital wards. We handle everything from initial architectural design to the procurement of material and medical equipment to final installation, testing, and handover. And we don't stop there. We also take care of long-term maintenance and upgrades. Since 2020, we have installed over 2,000 critical care beds, delivered 180-plus dialysis centers, and completed projects worth 300 crores rupees, including large-scale medical sector contracts in Rajasthan, Gujarat, Delhi, and Maharashtra. This integrated approach allows us, our clients, whether it's a government medical college or a private multi-specialty hospital, to work with a single trusted partner for the entire project. And that's a big advantage when timelines and budgets are tight. This is our first segment. Our second segment is medical equipment solution. This part of the business focuses on supplying high-quality medical equipment for ICUs, diagnostic labs, and surgical centers. We are proud to be an authorized partner of leading global brands like Johnson & Johnson Private Limited, Schiller Healthcare Limited, Philips India Limited, Allen Electronic Systems Private Limited, and RefMed Healthcare Limited. Through this segment, we offer not just supply, but complete equipment planning, installation, testing, training, and ongoing support. Our portfolio includes equipment for cardiology, nephrology, radiology, anesthesiology, and even home care. This segment contributes around 8% to our revenue last year. And more important, it helps us maintain strong relationship with hospitals and doctors while broadening our brand presence. So this was our second segment. Third segment, services and CAMPs. So this segment provides ongoing maintenance and technical support through comprehensive maintenance contracts. This covers preventive maintenance, repairs, calibration, software upgrades, and emergency assistance. Although it currently contributes around 2% of the revenue, we expect this segment to grow steadily as more of our completed project transition is into post-warranty phase. All these three segments are connected by our core compatibility, delivering seamless turnkey solution. Rather than managing multiple vendors, our client rely on Apramya as one-stop partner for infrastructure, equipment, and services. This capability has earned us the trust of major institutes ranging from AIIMS and state-run medical colleges to large private hospitals in Gujarat, Rajasthan, Delhi, and Maharashtra. In August 2024, we raised ₹29.2 crores through our IPO, which is now being used to strengthen working capital and support expansion. Now, opportunities and growth, what we are having. Before moving on to financials, I would like to highlight the scale of opportunity ahead. India's healthcare structure or system continues to face a major infrastructure gap with only 1.3 hospital beds per 1,000 people, well below the global average of 2.9 per 1,000 people. The government has significantly stepped up investments, allocating 98,000 crore rupees in FY25 alone, with a special focus on Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. Meanwhile, India's medical equipment industry is experiencing unprecedented growth. The market was valued at $11 billion in 2022 and is projected to grow to $50 billion by 2030. This survey is driven by hospital expansion, insurance coverage, and the rapid adoption of cutting-edge technologies like robotic surgeries, modular OTs, AI-driven diagnostics, and mobile imaging units. Apramya is well-positioned to capitalize on this demand. With deep OEM partnerships, strong SITC capabilities, and proven execution model, we serve as comprehensive value-driven partners to healthcare providers. What further sets us apart is our focus on integrated and innovative solutions, including mobile stroke units, robotic surgery platforms, mobile CT scanners, and smart modular ICUs and OTs, all these on turnkey basis that are tailored to the evolving needs of India's healthcare system. We are also expanding our geographic footprint from a strong presence in Rajasthan, Gujarat, Delhi, and Maharashtra. We are now entering the states like Bihar, Uttarakhand, Assam, Chhattisgarh, Daman and Sikkim states or Sikkim markets that are witnessing rising demand for quality healthcare infrastructure. With a healthy 60 crore order book executable within 5 to 6 months, we are well positioned for scalable and sustainable growth. Now about financial performance. Now coming to our financial performance for FY25, revenue grew by 108% year-on-year to 136 crore, driven by a greater share of high-margin turnkey projects, which made up 92% of revenue compared to 72% in FY24, along with the services and CAMC contributions. EBITDA increased to 267% year-on-year to rupees 25 crore, with margins improving 795 basis points to 18%. Same way, PAT rose to 364% year-on-year to rupees 16 crore, with PAT margin improving from 653 basis points to 12%. ROE and ROCE stood at 37% and 26% respectively. These numbers reflect the strength of our execution, the scalability of our model, and disciplined approach to managing costs and capital. With that, we now open the floor to our questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Nupur from Earth AIF. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, Nupur, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay. Firstly, I would like to congratulate the management of the company for this wonderful growth. So my first question is with respect to the geographical expansion that company is planning. So what are the challenges and timelines for expansion into states like Bihar, Assam, Sikkim, Uttarakhand? We know the opportunities we have, but would like to understand about the challenges and timelines as well.
Thank you, Nupur. Thanks for your understanding for the business. Your question is very much relevant. As these all states, you must be knowing, these are underdeveloped as compared to the states like Maharashtra, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, Hyderabad, or like Andhra. All these states comes in developed category, and the states we are talking about or you are asking about are somewhat underdeveloped. So now what government is planning, the government need to raise the infrastructure, this healthcare infrastructure bar. For that, what they are doing now, this turnkey model has been well accepted by many of the governments, and all these states have also accepted this turnkey model. So now what they are doing, whatever the medical college they are building in their state, like you must be knowing, one policy has been approved by Shri PM Modi sir, that every district should have one medical college. So that policy is already has been implemented, and all the states they are working. So if you consider Bihar, Chhattisgarh, Sikkim, they all are developing one medical college at every district. So in that infrastructure, what they are doing, they are constructing the building, and after the construction is completed, they are going to float one complete turnkey project tender. That will include all the equipments that is required for that medical college. Usually a medical college will have 22 departments. So for all the 22 departments, they are going to combine all the equipments and float one specific tender. And in that tender, there will be an entry barrier. That tender value may be around 60, 70, 80 crores. And in that, the entry barrier will be there that you need to have at least 80% work as a past performance you have done. So only those bidders can participate in those tenders. So we are very well placed in that aspect. So we are very hopeful that in coming this running year, we are going to enter in those markets successfully. Hope I can explain you in a better way.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. One more thing that I would like to understand. Since last 3 years, if I consider the financials of March 23, 24 and 25 also, we are generating negative cash flow from operations. So till what timeline we can expect positive cash flows from our operations?
Yes. Thank you, Anitul, for your question. Actually, if you have gone through the details, I don't know. But you need to understand the business model what we are doing. We are mainly dependent on government schemes and government business. Our 90% revenue comes from government. So you better understand, because the government is having certain roadmap for the year. Usually all the budgeting session will happen in the month of March for the coming year. Like this year, they have done the budgeting for in the March only. So now the budgeting is going to release for this current financial year in coming June, July, August. Usually what happens, they start floating tenders in those months, and gradually they get all the money and accordingly they'll release. So if you see our business model, in 22, 23, you must be seeing that cash flow is a big problem. But last financial year, if you see, our debtor cycle was around 8 months. And that we have gradually reduced it to 6 months. Because what has happened, some of the projects, they are lying for 325 days. But that is not the case that all the debtors are for that many days. So gradually we have reduced that debtor cycle. So that has increased our cash flow compared to last two financial years. The previous year was better in cash flow. And that we are improving. We are going to reduce this debtor cycle in coming days. So that will, we are in process to reduce it to 4 to 5 months. So that will again add on the cash flow to the company.
Okay. The only concern that I was having was that because of the negative cash flows, it becomes difficult for the company to manage its working capital. Because you need more and more of working capital. Although the money that you raised in your IPO was basically for the working capital requirement only. To some extent, that money really helped you in scaling up your business and everything. But as you said that you're working on that thing to help you in managing your working capital cycle. One thing that I read in the pitch deck was when in Gujarat, you secured a PIU order to build 30 modular OTs across medical colleges in Surat, Valsad, etc. So just want to have an understanding that what is the minimum order book, what is the cost or what is the value of building one modular OT?
So I'd like to explain first, the agency which we are talking about is PIU. It is Project Implementation Unit. That is the wing that has been developed by Gujarat government to strengthen the healthcare infrastructure. It is the agency which is connected to the R&B department, Road and Building Development Department. It is part of that department, but this department is specially made for healthcare strengthening. So now what Gujarat government is doing, they are having a good infrastructure like modular OTs and everything, but that has not been maintained for last 10 years. So those OTs are in very worse condition. So what the government has decided last year, that they have floated one maintenance tender. In that maintenance tender, it was a turnkey maintenance tender and they have selected vendor, they have empaneled vendor, out of which one we are the one, we got the empanelment in that agency. So they have divided some of the institutes and they have given the maintenance contract with renovation of all those modular OTs. So that order we got for PIU Gujarat. It is not everything new, we are not constructing in that order. So if you roughly can calculate the per OT maintenance cost or the upgradation cost, will be around 15 lakhs, 15 to 20 lakhs, depending on the OT infrastructure, what position they are having. That will depend in hospital to hospital. They have decided bottom prices for all the items. Now, whatever things you are going to upgrade, they are going to pay for it. So that way, that is the contract. And in coming days, PIU is again going to float new tenders for all the new modular OTs. So that is again an additional opportunity.
Okay.
So, Topher, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn. Thank you.
Yeah, I can just ask.
Thank you, Nupur.
Kindly join the queue. Thank you.
Bye.
We'll take our next question from the line of Riddhi Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations. First of all, congratulations to the management for good numbers. My first question is, sir, out of 136 crore of revenue posted, around 120 crores are debtors. Almost 87% of the total revenue is not collected. So how are you planning to collect them and by when we can see that?
Yeah, hi Kriti or Ritika, I didn't got your name. If I'm sorry.
It's Riddhi. No, sir. No, it's okay. Riddhi. Yes, sir.
Hi Riddhi. Thanks for your question. Actually, I'll connect the same what Nupur was asking. Actually, if you see a data list, that we'll share. I don't have currently with me. So if you see a data list, all debtors are not from the April to 2024. So if those are from April 2024, then it has took almost 1 year to get the debtors. But if you see our majority business, that has started from November, December. So our major debtors are from January, February and March. So it is almost 3 months. And any government or any government organization, minimum 3 to 4 months is their payment cycle that you must acknowledge with me. So if you go through our debtors list, some of the debtors, those are very less debtors. Those are carry forwarded from May, June. And the value is very low. But the major debtors like 120 crores we are telling. So that is from January, February, March. So now in this year or this month or maybe in the consecutive month, we'll get all the all those debtors paid. So it is not debtors for last 1 year. So that is misinterpreted because in balance sheet I cannot show the thing in a different way. This is the only way. So interpretation is very important in this case. So and that we are working to reduce our debtors by we have reduced from 8 months to 6 months. Now we are further working on it. So how we can reduce it to 4 to 5 months. So that we are working already. Hope I can answer your question or I can relate what you want to understand.
Okay, so basically, sir, what we can conclude is the tenders we get, for example, in Q1, you are trying to collect those tenders by next quarter, Q2.
Yeah. So not exactly quarter, but maybe 5 months, 4 to 5 months.
5 months, okay, sir. Thank you. Yes. So my next question is, can you please tell us your current order book and what you are expecting for next 2 years, FY26 and 27? Quantitative number for your order book?
Yes. Thank you. I'll answer that. Currently, we are having our order book of around 60 crore rupees. That needs to be executed within, I think, 5 to 6 months. We are going to finish that everything, whatever the order book we are having. And there are so many opportunities we are having in hand in coming days because this sector is growing very fast. So if you can see the overall sector growth as a CAGR, it is 22% for last decade. And this year it has gone down. This last year, it was around 15%. So we are getting very good opportunities in so many states. Previously we were only dependent on some of the states. Now we are having horizon of so many states. So in coming days, whatever the CAGR that industry is giving, so we are aspiring to go very fast as compared to that growth. Maybe it will be very loud to say, but last year we would like to do the same thing.
Sir, any number like from 60 crore current, can we expect 20% growth in order book?
Or do you understand? I cannot go with the numbers, but I can give you the assurance that we'll be doing a great job in this year also because we are having so many opportunities and industry is going so fast and we are having entry barrier at very good level. So all the players cannot intervene in those markets or in those tenders. So we are very hopeful that we can secure good orders in coming days. Absolute
okay,
number I cannot
you.
Have. Moment. Sorry.
No issue, sir. Thank you. I will join the queue back. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Riddhi. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Devinder Wadhwa from Value Prolific Investment Advisory. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, sir. I wanted to ask that basically you already told, what transition you have made in your business in the last 1 year that your revenue growth is more than 100%? And is this peak continuing for next 2-3 years or this will be a stagnant for after this period?
Yeah. Bhadraji, thank you for your question. So I would like to explain some basic things, what business we have been doing for last 1 year. We have innovated ourselves. Basically, turnkey projects, what I told you in my presentation, like ICUs, intensive care units, neonatal care units, pediatric care units, that was a routine business with complete equipment solution that we were doing. That still we are doing. But what we have introduced now, we have come up with some proprietary solutions for super specialty hospitals, like if you consider cardiology. So we have come up with EP lab system, that is electrophysiology lab, on turnkey basis. that will give complete end-to-end solution to a cardiologist. If some cardiologist is dealing with angiography, angioplasties, he must be facing some of the patients, those are having arrhythmia problems. Arrhythmia means their heartbeats are missing, beats are not coming properly. In that case, angiography and angioplasty doesn't work. They need to put pacemaker to treat those patients. So what doctors are now doing, they are using this EP-Lab system wherever we have installed, and they are diagnosing this arrhythmia, and they are curing that arrhythmia with ablation technique that we are providing inbuilt. So all the patient doesn't require this pacemaker. And pacemaker is very costly, that is around 25-30 lakhs is the cost of that pacemaker. And everyone cannot afford, and everyone is having that right to live. So they can have this EP-Lab diagnosis, EP-Lab treatment, and they can live a healthy life. Like heartbeat, their normal heartbeat can be achieved. So this is one of the products that is proprietary in nature. So this nobody is having in the world. The 3D CARTO system from Johnson that we are dealing with, it is proprietary in nature. So the last year we got this opportunity, and we have secured some of the orders for Maharashtra. With so many institutes, we have installed the same technology. Same way, we have come up with one other product, that is mobile CT scan on turnkey basis. Now, what is mobile CT scan? You have heard of static CT scan, where you can go and have your CT scan. So in case of emergency, if the patient is in dire need of CT scan, and if he is going to government setup, their availability is an issue, because there they will be having queue, and you need to come in queue, and that patient may die if he is having certain emergency. So in that case, this CT will go to the patient. It is called mobile CT. It is like a vehicle. It is like having wheels in that CT, and you can roam around in the hospital. If some patient is critical in ICU, that patient cannot be moved to CT. The CT can go to patient, and you can have diagnosis. Again, this technology is proprietary in nature, and we are doing it in on turnkey basis. We are creating a complete infrastructure to park that CT, digital image intensifiers to produce whatever the prints you need for the CT, whatever the medical legal documents you need. So you need to prepare to complete this room. So this is again a proprietary product that we are doing. This nobody is having in the world. And this distribution lies with us. This product is from Samsung. Samsung, you must be knowing, it is a very big company in healthcare also. Same way, we have come up with third this innovative solution, that is mobile stroke unit. What is the mobile stroke unit? You must have heard of ambulance or advanced life support, ALS. But this mobile stroke unit is having inbuilt CT scan machine in that ambulance, and that machine, MSU can go to the patient if someone is having stroke, brain stroke. There are only 3 to 4 hours, those are called golden hours, with that patient. If he gets proper treatment in that 4 hours, he can be saved of paralysis, like partial paralysis, long-term paralysis, full body paralysis, or may lead to death, because some clot is there, some blockage is there in the brain. That needs to be scanned, and proper treatment should be started in that 4 hours. So now what is happening, so many places, someone is having brain stroke, he cannot reach to the hospital in time, he cannot have the CT scan in time, the time of golden hours has been missed. So in that case, that patient will have some major complications. So that you can completely avoid. In this case, MSU can go to that patient, he can do CT scan there, in that van only. There is a doctor team that is connected online with the hospital where it is attached, with their super speciality neuro department. They will have consultation online. Whatever treatment needs to be started, that will be started in that MSU itself, and then patient can move to the hospital. And while traveling, doctors in the hospital can decide that this patient should be shifted to ICU, maybe to the OT, maybe to for the operation or any other treatment. So that can be decided in that traveling time. So that is again an innovative product. So these three I told you. And one more innovation is there. Now we are planning to come into the robotic surgery. The robotic surgery, there are very limited players. And the product we are planning to come up, that is having unique advantage. Like all India, they are having certain robots. So one robot can be connected to other place, and this doctor from maybe from Ahmedabad, he can operate in Delhi if he is sitting, that patient is sitting in that OT and doctor is in Ahmedabad. The Ahmedabad doctor can operate that robot. So that technology is something new that has come up, and these are surgical robots. Precision has increased and it is the future now. So these all are monopoly products. So what happens? These all are proprietary products. So entry will be for those only, those who are in this product. So in that case, we can secure the orders. We can get the opportunity to go in multiple states, and we can have good margins also. Hope I can.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your detailed answering. I think your innovative innovation drives the growth. And
yeah.
My second question is, do you have any competitor nearby who's doing the same business as you're doing in the private market or the public market?
Yeah. So I'd like to answer for that. Basically, if you look into this listed space, you'll not find any of the competition in the listed space. But if you go into the detail, you'll find some regional players. Those are only territorial based, like someone is doing in certain specific city, some may be doing in certain specific state, and some may be doing in one or two states. Those type of players are there. But those players doesn't have the entry barrier points now. If some tender that is coming for around, say, 50, 60, 80 crore, a single tender value, there they are putting the terms and conditions that you should have experience of minimum serving this much OTs or this much IQ or whatever the project they are having, that much performance you should have. Then only you can quote the tender, otherwise you will not be qualified. So in those cases, those players, those are regional players, so they don't have that much width or that much horizon or bandwidth. So they are not able to participate those tenders. So I don't think those are actually competition. They are doing regionally, and we are now going across India. And we are having good order books. Last year, we have done good listing revenue also. So we are having good performance now. So it is difficult for them to match. I don't think those are the competitors for us.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of CA Vikash Vijay Vargia from Account Tree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Chetan bhai, I want to understand what is the differences is come in the FY22 versus FY25. Because what has happened in your revenue is very skewed. In particularly FY22 is almost is a 200 crore and now is a 136 crore. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the changes has happened in the business FY22 to FY25?
Yeah. Thank you, Vikasji. I'll answer that also. Actually, if you see FY22, so what has happened, there was a pandemic, COVID, that has come in around 2020 in India. So healthcare infrastructure, they were having a disaster in so many states. They were not having that level healthcare infrastructure to treat that much patients in one go. So 20 to 21, they have struggled a lot. In 21, government has decided that we need to grow infrastructure at very fast pace. Whoever is going to deliver us the healthcare infrastructure in 60 to 90 days, we are going to give the contract to them only. So in that scenario, we got the opportunity to build NICUs, ICUs, PICUs, prefabricated wards, and good order book we were having. And we have secured around 115 crores for all these turnkey projects in that year 2022 that we have delivered. Plus, there was a requirement of oxygen across India. You must be knowing in there everything, the news was floating that oxygen deficiency is there across India. So in that case, government has decided to buy oxygen concentrators and give it to the patient at their home. So central government has decided to give additional budget to all the state governments and they should buy oxygen concentrators. So in that year, if you see, we got the order of oxygen concentrators around 65 to 70 crore. That was one-time order. It was one-time policy of the government. And accordingly, we got that around 200 crores if we add our trading business, services business, our this time is in trading only oxygen concentrator, and 115 crore turnkey business. So that overall we have got 200 crore. But that was one-time opportunity in some of the cases, like oxygen concentrator was one-time opportunity. But the turnkey projects has given us the edge. Because after that, we got into this turnkey business more and more. And we got our entry barrier this thing. So that way, 200 crore was there. And this 136 crore, this is purely traditional business that we are doing. This is not dependent on any of the pandemic or any of the adversity. This is the routine business that we have done. This 136 crore. And if you see that 136 crore, all these proprietary products is having major shares. So that you can see the revenue also and PAT, EBITDA, everything has increased. If you see 2022, the PAT, EBITDA, everything was very low. Even if we have done 200 crore. In this 25, you can see everything has increased. So that has given us the edge. Hope I can explain.
Yeah, I understand. Because this is 68 crore, this is a purchase of stock is there, I understand. The time your EBITDA is 13%, I agree.
Yeah.
But afterwards, might be for the 23 and 24,
yeah,
some of the amount of the employee benefit expenses, the HR cost is there.
Yeah.
More or less, it's the same is there in FY22 to FY25.
Yeah.
Slightly down in FY23 to FY24. But might be the 24, 25 crores is a fixed cost, kind of the cost is there. It is my understanding, is correct?
Because we were not prepared for 200 crores, we got the opportunity, so we didn't miss. So we need to induct so many employees, the HR cost has increased for that 200 crore. Then once that year has been completed, I cannot throw off all those guys. That I don't have project, you can go now. So that has increased the cost of break even to my company. Then I tried for some more projects and I concluded so many projects as a turnkey. And once I have done so many projects, I need to induct services guy because services need to provide. Otherwise, you are in 3-year warranty clause. The action will be taken against you by the government if you don't have that services. So we have inducted more and more service guys because after giving services, you can ask for consumables, disposables. This is additional business that is going to come through that services. So that has also increased some of the HR costs and that will sustain for coming 2 years. So that is the case. And 25, you can see we have increased some more guys if you see FY25. Because that will add on. We need to give services.
Two more questions is there. Whether this sustainable EBITDA level is there, it's 18% in FY25, whatever you reported. Is sustainable EBITDA in future? Or it's certain dip is possible or some positives also possible?
It depends on the contract to contract. Yeah, because that's why I've given you complete story of 200 crore. EBITDA, PAT, everything I have explained to you. In that year, after doing that much business, we have not earned that much EBITDA or PAT. And in FY25, with lesser this thing, revenue, we have earned more than that. So this, whatever the thing that we have realized in the year 23-24 only, that we are going to work on margin, good margin products and good margin projects only. We are not doing haphazard projects. If somebody comes to us and do this project, we cannot do. We'll first evaluate our this thing, costing and everything, and then we decide. We don't quote all the tenders across India. There are so many tenders, maybe around 1,000 correct tenders we are coming. We don't quote all the tenders. We quote only selective tenders where we find that we'll be in a comfortable position to quote, and we can secure our margins and whatever the expenses are there. Then only we are going to move those tenders. So that is for sure that I can assure you here that we are going to maintain whatever we have delivered. That is the only thing at this stage I can tell you. Rest in future you can see also.
Yeah, correct. And one of the last is the residual part is my year already asked to you. What about this paid table? It's as compared to the receivable, it's at least one third is there. Because 120 crores is a receivable and 40 odd crores is a trade receivable. Yeah. So whether we have the, because you explained is a right now receivable is a 8 months to 6 months, and in future is a 4 to 5 months is possible.
Yes.
Trade payable, what is the aging period is there right now?
Which trade payable or government payable you are?
Trade payable. Trade payable. I mean, government there is, you already explained.
Okay.
For the trade payable.
Trade payable, not that much big cycle we are having. We are having around 2 months, maximum 2 to 3 months. If you see bifurcation of our debtors, you'll find more debtors are in government only. Trade debtors you'll not find more that you can compare anytime. And if you are having questions in that also, you can get back to us through IR, our IR agency, Stella. We can give you all the details also in that case.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chetan.
Thank you, Vikas bhai. Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Himanshu Bisani from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on the performance, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand the order dynamics and the time cycle involved. So specifically, are all the orders based on, evaluated on L1 basis? And also, once a company wins an order, what is the typical timeline for execution, and when do we see that in our numbers? If you could throw some light on that.
Yeah. Basically, hi, Himanshu. Thank you so much for your question. Basically, you need to understand this business model. As we are into this EPC contracting, so tenders is, this business is through government only, so tendering will be done. But how you can secure in the tender process with all the terms and conditions? Because if government is doing some tender, they'll be having stringent terms and conditions. If some 10 crore company is quoting 80 crore tender, will it be viable for the government to give the tender to that company? Otherwise, what will happen? He can take that order and he cannot execute. And he can forfeit his VNB or whatever the amounts are, those are there. So that is not viable for government even, because their project will be delayed. So they are keeping stringent norms or stringent terms and conditions to qualify in the tender. And we are at very good position, as I told you in my previous talk also, that we are having now good entry barrier this category. So we can have good terms and conditions, and in that tender only we are going to quote, so that we can get at least security that we can secure this order. In that tender only we are going to quote. So the possibility of winning is more, and as I told you when I was talking to Vadraji, that we are focusing more on the projects that we are implanting. We are not doing the projects that somebody has implanted and we are going to quote. So chances of winning are more in that case. And regarding timelines, it depends on government to government. Like if you see Rajasthan is having around 90 days criteria. You need to deliver the project in 90 days, 90 to 120 days in Rajasthan. Gujarat, they are having different criteria. It depends on project to project. Whenever you'll be getting the project in your hand, you can finish it from 30 days to 120 days. That depends what type of project is there and what all need is there. Same way in Maharashtra, they are having somewhat higher time for completion of projects. They are giving 32 weeks time for all the projects. That doesn't mean that we are going to take 32 weeks to deliver the project. If you see all other orders from Maharashtra, we got order in the month of October. I think we have uploaded on NSE also. And we have delivered almost 80% of that project in the month of March. So maybe in 4 months. And we were getting around 8 months time. So that all depends on person to person. So we are not taking that much time to deliver the project. So, and we are working on it that we can reduce that time again more, because we have finalized some of the vendors and some of the procurement this thing. So we are getting very fast response from those parties. So you can take the example of last year only. So you'll get your answer. But we are trying to deliver it in time, rather to say faster than in time.
Okay, understood, sir. So also wanted to understand what is our outlook on private sector, like 90% of our business is government. So how do you see the private business, private opportunity, and what could be, what is the mix that you are targeting if we have our focus on the private as well?
See, currently we are not targeting this EPC contracting or turnkey in private. Because private, you need to understand, they are having certain mindset. Like the big corporate groups, they are having their own consultants on panel. They are having their own architectural or engineering team on their panel. So what happens? They usually decide that the turnkey part, whatever the renovation and whatever the expansion part is there, they are going to do on it on their own. And they are going to buy equipments one-on-one. Because what they understand, or they are also having team of biomedical engineers. So they tell their biomedical engineers that you take out the price of all the equipment and accordingly you start procuring. Even if we give the turnkey solution of equipment to them, they feel that we are charging more and they'll go for individual equipments more. So that's why we are not much focusing on this thing, private business. But now in coming days, if you have heard or not, I don't know. Ayushman Bharat infrastructure scheme is coming up across the states. What they are doing, National Health Authority has been built by central government, and they have floated this Ayushman Bharat, this thing insurance. So what is happening now? Insurance companies, this insurance is having tie-up with all the government hospitals as well as private hospitals, those are trusts or some or other type of hospitals. So they are paying for all the patients, those they are sending to their setup. So now the whatever the earning has been increased for all those trust hospitals and all those private hospitals. So some of the projects they are coming to us that we are having now good patient flow and good revenue we are having, at least you can support in one of the segment to us. Like one hospital has asked for complete OT complex you can build for us with modern whatever the infrastructure, and they have agreed. So gradually we are thinking that we should intervene in such projects only, but not in all the private projects, because there is concern of our margins and whatever the revenue that we cannot compromise, like I already told you to Vadwaji.
Sir, concern on margins, I wanted to understand that
I request you to join back the queue, please. Your two questions.
No, ma'am, only the continuing, it's a continuing part of the question. Just one question. Yeah, so when you say concern on margins, are private contracts lesser in margin than government contracts? Is that what you are trying to convey?
That's what I was telling you, because they are having so many consultants. So everyone is trying to prove that I am having good knowledge in my field. So he's going to give the lowest price, which may not be workable, but that is only the price. You got my point? Sometimes prices are there, but that is not the value proposition. That is not the value proposition that is there. It is only price. And if you stick to the price, you cannot get whatever you are expecting. So that gap usually comes. So in that gap, we feel that we may lose some margin. So that's why we don't want to intervene.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Tanvi Bhandari from Hem Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Congratulations on the.
Tanvi, can you use your handset mode, please? Your audio is not clear.
Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. So just one question would be, sir, if you could give a percentage share of the proprietary business and the trading business, and also, is it an asset-light model and you will continue to work on an asset-light model? Because in our balance sheet, we can see fixed assets of almost under 1 crore.
Yes. Hello. Could you please repeat? Something I missed.
Sir, first, I want a share split of revenue in terms of your proprietary business and trading business. And others, will you continue to be in the set of under 1 crore in your balance sheet?
Your voice is going in between.
Hello?
Hello.
Is it better now?
Yeah.
Sir, can you give a split of your revenue in proprietary business and trading business?
Yeah. First, I'll answer that, then you can ask the next question.
Yes.
If you see, three verticals I have already explained to you, so out of which around 85% to 90% we are having the turnkey model, turnkey business. Then there is this term trading model, and third one is our services and GMC. If you consider, around 85% to 90% is turnkey, and out of that 85% to 90% turnkey, we have secured this year around 70%, 70% to 75% of that 80% to 90% of our business of this proprietary product. That you can go on the NSE portal also. You can check whatever the updates we have given. All those are proprietary products. Hope you got the answer. And trading, rest of the thing is trading. Like 90% if you count the turnkey business, then 10% out of 10%, it is around 7 to 8% is trading, and rest is service. Because this year we have completed 3 years warranty for so many projects in 2022, whatever we have delivered. This year we are going to get all those CNCs and services contracts in this current running year. So service will increase in coming days.
Tanvi, does that answer your question? Tanvi? Since there is no response, yes. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Urmish Shah from Moneyvisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. As we have the order book of 60 crores, and can you just give a revenue split from the states that we are present in, like Gujarat, Maharashtra, Rajasthan? What is the revenue, what is the order from each state? First question.
Yes. Thank you for your question. Basically, if you see this 60 crore order book, almost 60 to 70% is from Maharashtra.
Okay.
10 to 20% you can count from Rajasthan, and rest is from Gujarat.
Okay.
Only maybe this is more turnkey. Trading is somewhat lesser in this 60 crore.
This is purely turnkey or?
No.
Sorry, I missed that.
Will be there for trading and the services also, but that will be very marginal. Because you understand we have delivered more in this March. So trading, target, basis, everything was there on the trading team also. So they have delivered over. So this quarter may go slow in trading. April, May, June.
Okay, sir. And my next question is that as we are expanding our business in different states, and as per other three business verticals, you mentioned there are new products in the medical equipment that we are going to expand into. So my question is that as I see your financials, your debt levels have been coming down quite nicely. So during our expansion, will we be raising debt, and will that affect our margins or our net cash flow?
Yeah. See, I was answering to the same type of question you must have heard at that time also. We are working on this data cycle that we are going to reduce. And even if we are entering a new state, we'll enter in those projects only wherever we will find ourselves as a comfortable player in terms of revenue, in terms of margins, in terms of credit terms, whatever the data terms, whatever we are going to decide. Only those states we are going to cater. And this is not the case. The states we are opening, they are having money lying with them, but they are not in position to utilize that. So money is not the problem for like Bihar, Chhattisgarh, all these states. They are rich states if you consider budget-wise. They do have budgets, but the project has not been executed. So once you execute the project in time, they are ready to pay. So that's why we are exploring such states. Those are underdeveloped, but they are having funds for healthcare infrastructure. If you consider Rajasthan, Rajasthan has allotted the budget of 8.24% of their total GDP for healthcare. The state like Rajasthan, which comes under underdeveloped category. So money is there. Only thing, they need to float whatever the projects in time, and they need to conclude that. We can deliver in time and we can take all those payments in time. It is not the case that we are going to have that impact if we increase those states. That we'll definitely keep in mind. We'll not add on those things like a data list.
Right, no. My major concern was that the capex that we will be incurring while entering a state, new state.
Yeah.
So that was my basic concern, because I see your debt levels, net debt levels, quite declining nicely year on year. So if we are expanding to new states, what capex will we incur? If you can give a ballpark figure on that, and will that include raising new debt from sources? And if you see this EPC contracting or turnkey basis, huh, it is not one day you need to invest all the CapEx. It is
right.
Gradual step. If you got the site at certain level and you are going to start whatever the work inside the building, we are not doing greenfield projects. We are doing only brownfield. Building is ready.
Right.
We are going to do work inside only. So it is
Yeah.
not one day job. So capital will be invested in, you can understand, in maybe 2 months, 3 months that you are going to invest. And meanwhile, the other cycles are also running. Whatever the projects you have delivered, those payments are going to come. And that rotation will go on. So it is not one day CapEx or capital you are going to invest in any of the state or any of the projects. It is gradual process.
Right. Any CapEx figure that you have it in
Join back the queue, please.
mind? This is just a follow-up. This is just a follow-up on the CapEx. If any CapEx figure that you have it in mind for the current year which you would incur.
Those data that is very specific so that you can connect to our IR agency like Stellar, and we can answer all those
Right.
questions anytime.
Sure. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding our debtor days. Sir, so how much of the 120 crore of debtors that we have would be less than 6 months? And sir, a follow-up on this would be, sir, being an MSME, sir, does the 45-day payment timeline is valid for us or no?
Yeah. Thank you, Madhuri. If your question is over, can I answer?
Yes, sir, please.
Yeah. Actually, first I'll go to that MSME point. MSME, it is applicable now from this year only to the companies, those are below 100 crores. And that too, if you are dealing with the government, it is not applicable to the government. Government may take any time to give to the MSME. The private companies has to pay in time. That is not the liability with the government. And in any case, we are crossing 100 crores, so that is not applicable to us now. So that point is out of the question. Next question, I forgot what you were having. Total
Sir,
data
so how much is the one?
122.
Yes, how much was the less than 6 months?
Yeah. If you consider less than 6 months, almost 90-95% data, those are less than 6 months. All the data can be shared whenever needed or whenever you want. You can contact to Stellar. Because majority of the projects we have started from November
Got
to December.
Sir, I have another question on the turnkey side where we have mentioned that because of this proprietary solutions that we provide to specialty hospitals and different unique solutions, we get better margins. Sir, so I wasn't able to clearly understand what is the value proposition that we bring to these hospitals that we get better margins. So if you can comment on that again, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Madhuri, what happens here, the problem is very important. If you are approaching to any of the institute or any of the organization, those are the procurement agencies or maybe medical colleges, they are having certain problems that are not been solved for last so many years. So first you need to sit with them and discuss about those problems. And if you are in position to give solution to that problem, they are happy to entertain you regarding those projects. So if I'm coming up with the solution like MSU, I told you, I was explaining at that time, mobile stroke unit. It is a problem that is lying for years. Nobody has given a solution. Nothing has been provided. We have come up with this unique solution. And that solution is very important as it is life-saving. It is not for luxury to the hospital or to the healthcare infrastructure. If it is an life-saving, whatever the technology you are coming up with, hospital is ready to buy or that institute or that organization is ready to buy. Only thing you need to make them understand and you need to design certain specifications and certain budget. In that budget, they are agreed to spend budget if that concept is unique. So there you can secure if you are having proprietary products and if you are having proprietary concept, you can secure your margins also, and that will be executed in a much proper way with the quality of standard you are going to deliver to that project. Hope I can explain.
Yes.
I request you to join back the queue.
Just a final follow-up question, it will clear my doubt. Sir, so these orders that we get, sir, are these orders firstly go and meet the authorities, we present whatever solution that we can provide and then we receive the order? Is that the reason why you can get better orders than any other player?
No. You need to understand that. I was explaining you that first you need to meet end user, because this will be used by some of the doctor only, or maybe some of the super specialist surgeon only. So first you need to meet the end user. You need to explain that this is the concept, this is the problem you are facing for this much years, and this is the solution we are going to offer you. Once that doctor is convinced, he is going to put his intent or his requirement to his higher authority, maybe the principal or dean of that college. Then that dean or principal is going to write the same thing to their commissioner, whatever the organization, like Maharashtra is there. So DNER, they are having a commissioner. They are going to write all the requisition to that commissioner. Commissioner is going to send all those requisitions to his secretary, maybe health secretary. And secretary is again going to send all those requisitions to the ministry, because the requirement has came from doctor. So they cannot decide whether to give it or not. They have to give it because it is a dire need, and doctor has given complete explanation why this thing is needed and what are the problems that it is going to solve. So in that way, it will reach to ministry. The ministry is going to float maybe tender. If it is proprietary item, they will again send the in the same process back to the doctor that if you want to buy this on proprietary basis, you need to certify that this is proprietary in nature and with whatever the requirements which is satisfied as per your needs. If that happens, then government may give order directly on proprietary basis. If it is not proprietary, then tender will be floated for that product. In that way it comes.
Got it. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Nupur from Earth AIF. Please go ahead. Nupur? Yes,
yeah.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. So, Chetanji, as you mentioned that we don't have any listed players. We just have a few unlisted players and that are also regional. So whenever government is coming up with any tender, so the probability of winning that tender is 100%, right? For you.
Nupur. Anything cannot be 100%. Probability must be higher. It cannot be 100% every time. But why probability has increased? Because they are not organized players, or that is not the organized market. So they may not be prepared for some of the projects. Because some projects, they need to go in some interior regions and you need to execute. They may not be having the team, ample team to support that project. So they may quote or they may not quote. Even if they want to quote, but if they are not qualifying for the criteria, like whatever the entry barriers they have asked or whatever the terms and conditions they have asked, they cannot quote. So more and more chances, if you go for bigger projects, there the chances are very less that all those unorganized players will come in that market. And organized players, like for all the big companies, like multinational companies, they don't do all those projects. They are concerned with their equipment only. So they will not come in that segment. It is very much clearly defined.
Okay. So one more thing that I would like to ask that in just a second. Are we thinking of any new OEM partnership that will support us in expansion in the ORC business?
ORC, okay. Overwriting commission, you're asking about. So basically, we are having a main tie-up with Johnson & Johnson, which is a US-based company. And we are serving them for the Rajasthan state. And we are gradually expanding to some other states with them also for this ORC agreement. But in pipeline, we are having some more companies. Those are approaching us, but not yet finalized, so I cannot comment on that. But so many companies, they are approaching. And only we are working more mainly for more multinational companies, because product quality is very important, where you are not supplying, but some other company is supplying. Your name will also spoil. So we are not considering any local players right now. But maybe multinational companies will be considering in coming days. And so many companies are approaching already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much and all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mukul.
We'll take our next question from the line of Riddhi Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. So my first question is, can you specify the percentage of bed debts as we have
were very high debtors, and how much is it from government and private sector?
Hi, Ruby. Thank you for your question. Actually, if you understand, in government business, you cannot have bad debt kind of concept. If you are not getting your payment from the government, there must be some gap from your side, or maybe the other side, they are not getting whatever the solution. Government cannot have bad debt, because if government is going to give bad debt to the private player, that is an unquestionable thing. Then where you will go? So government, you don't have bad debt. But we don't have experience for last 22 years. It may happen that some amount may go in litigation. Like they are considering the liquidity damages and we are not accepting it as a liquidity damages. So that debatable issue will remain. But that is not bad debt. That you are still fighting for that. So bad debt as such in government is very less. And in private business, if you consider like whatever the private business we are doing, it will be less than around 1% of whatever the trade business we are doing.
Okay, this answers my question. Sir, my last question is, that how are you planning your working capital management? Any plans to make the working capital positive? And though we are having so many expansion plans, so how are you planning to cater this?
Yeah, I was telling to, I think, Himanshu or Tanvi, that we are planning to reduce first this data cycles so that we can have a good cash inflow in our hand. And wherever we are going to do the project, we are going to do in the projects in as per our requirement only. We are not going to quote all the projects we are getting wherever we are getting. We are not going to do that kind of project. So we are concentrating more on proprietary, more on the tenders that are controlled by us or that we are in position to have to secure that project with the budget, whatever the budgeting is there should be secured. So those projects we are going to cater. And whatever the implementation or the CapEx we are going to implement in all those projects, that is a gradual process, so that we are going to do in very gradual way, so that it should not hamper much cash flow. So the cycle should be maintained, like whatever we have supplied to now Maharashtra, Rajasthan or Gujarat, it should come in time. And the same way we are going to implement new projects, and we are going to have outflow in the same way, in the same ratio. So that we are going to increase, improve in coming days, the cash flow. If you see for the last 3 years, that has improved only.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. And all the best for your coming year. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ritu.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Madhur, can you please use your handset mode?
Yes. Is my audio better right now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding a margin profile. So what would be the minimum margin based on the order number that we will be quoting in the EPC or the turnkey segment that we'll be able to achieve? And sir, in services segment, it looks like the margin might be much higher. Sir, so if you could just guide us, how are we planning rather than just banking on the project that we have done coming to warranty, are we planning to target private sector in this segment as well?
Yeah, so I would like to tell about the margins you are asking. So if you go to our this thing, EBITDA, our gross margins, we have complete balance sheet online. So you can find we are playing in very good this margin range. Specific amount you can take from the balance sheet, whatever the last year we are having, and that we are going to maintain. Like you are asking for service model, we are having very good margins in service model also. Why that service model we are having good margin? Because whatever the projects we have delivered before 3 years, those are going to expire now. If 100 rupees project was delivered at that time, they have made it very clear that after warranty, they are going to give the fixed CMC to that company for coming 5 years. And that some states have finalized 4%, some have finalized 5%, some have finalized 6% of the whatever the tender project was there. If so, 100 rupees if you count, so we'll be getting around 4% or 5% or 6%, 4, 5, 6 rupees every year for that project. And that is the additional thing that we are going to get. And that, you understand, it is like insurance. Every project or every site will not have the same expense or same whatever the thing you are going to deliver. So you'll be having overall gross margin, a good gross margin. Hope you understand.
Yes, sir. So sir, if I look at the 200 crore project that we executed in FY22, can we expect the 15 to 20 crore recurring run rate from the services segment for the next 3, 4, 5 years? And sir, can we expect the like high teens to mid 20s kind of EBITDA margin on these projects?
You need to understand that only this, whatever the post 5-6% I was telling, the CNC they have given us the final amount, that we are not going to get from those centers. Whatever projects we have done, like in 200 crore, 115 or 120 crores we have done turnkey. So what we are going to get, we are going to get fixed CMC for that project, as well as whatever the consumables are there, like ventilators are there, monitors are there, so many products are there. So they doesn't work only as a standalone unit. You need to have surface like a disposable, whatever the probes, whatever the leads, whatever the things for all those equipment. And that is the recurring business. And that disposable you need to have to run that equipment. And that is not covered in CMC. That is, they need to buy separately. So whatever the amount or whatever the thing, I cannot comment on the amount exactly. But hopefully we can whatever cross that amount. It is possible.
Okay, sir. So is my understanding correct that whatever order we execute, 5 to 6% of its order value usually comes as a maintenance, and over and above that, whatever new equipment or replacement product that they require, that is the additional revenue that we can get from that.
No. Not additional product, because once the project is done, you cannot have additional product, but additional consumables or disposables to run that equipment. It is compulsory. Because every equipment will have 10 years minimum life as a medical equipment. So for coming whatever the 7 years, we need to have consumables. Every year we need to use consumables disposable for that equipment. So that additional business I am telling. Not medical equipment additionally.
Sir, the maintenance part was right, sir. The 5-6% maintenance of whatever order that we execute.
Yeah.
Generally?
Yes. I didn't get you.
Sir, so if we execute, sir, like you mentioned that if we execute 100 rupee order today, over the next 3 years when it goes post-warranty, there is a rupees 5 or 6, between 4 to 6 rupees kind of a maintenance, annual maintenance contract that
is
there.
With escalation of 5% every year.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. In some states, 5% escalation.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And sir, on the final question, sir, so the minimum margin pressure that we'll expect before quoting on any new orders in the turnkey segment?
Margins, you need to go through our balance sheets and everything. You'll get what margins we are working. And we are going to maintain those only. You'll get everything in that. I think you can get those answers from there only.
Okay. So thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chetanji Joshi for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, madam. To sum up, Aprimea is entering a new phase of opportunity and growth. We are not just building infrastructure. We are enabling access to reliable, modern, and efficient healthcare across India. With a fully integrated model, trusted OEM relationships, a growing order book, and a strong focus on innovation, we are confident in our ability to create long-term value for all the stakeholders. We remain optimistic about our capacity to drive sustained growth while staying focused on executing our vision, overwhelming challenges, and improving operational efficiencies. We extend our sincere gratitude to our employees, our customers, partners, shareholders, our bankers, our advisors, for their continued support. We look forward to updating you on our progress in coming quarters. Thank you so much for patiently hearing me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Aprimea Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.